in chapter 4. We are beginning a new chapter today. We finished chapter 3, so we are going on verse 1 today. And we'll be going scripture by scripture, finishing 1 John by His grace. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. I'm going to go through just one verse. I'm going to take it easy because there's a lot in this. And chapter 4, verse 1, we are coming, we saw the brotherly love. Now we are coming to a different perspective here. As John says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. It's a really an important chapter. He returns to a doctrine where he taught us before. He kind of went through this doctrine before in 1 John. If you remember 1 John chapter 2 verse 18. Chapter 2 verse 18 says, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And here we see he's touching, he's bringing this subject back again, but more in an expository sense. He's going to really reveal the false teachers. So the topic that I would give today is, believe not every spirit. It's simple as that. So here in this chapter, Apostle warns us against seducing spirits. He advises us to test them. And clearly we see there are a lot of false doctrines, and we need to know how to discern what is true and what is wrong. This is where the church is extremely weak today, is where people have no discernment to know what is true and what is right. No discernment on what is the correct teaching and what is not right. We need to test them. Apostle, then at the end of this chapter, you will see he back again, he turns to brotherly love. But this is a very important subject that he touches here. So here he says, he gives us an encouragement, exhorting the church not to believe every spirit. And beloved, do not believe every spirit. What he really says is, saying is, stop believing every spirit. Now, what do you mean by every spirit? What do you mean by every spirit? It means a spirit of error. If you see in 1 John chapter 4 verse 6, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of what? Truth and the spirit of error. So the Bible itself gives a meaning here. Believe not every spirit. So when you say believe not every spirit, it's talking of spirit of error. That means there are many people who fall victims to the fad of the latest spiritual enlightenments. Right? They become the victims of the enemy. That means we need to test them. We need to test everybody who preaches the Word of God. Every teacher should be tested. Every doctrine should be tested. Every minister should be tested. Every pastor should be tested. Every evangelist should be tested. Every Sunday school teacher, every missionary, anyone who teaches the Word of God should be tested. Anybody who says who is a Christian and who teaches the word of God should be tested. That's what John is saying here. Believe not every spirit. And you know, the reason is why? Because Satan is a counterfeiter. He is a counterfeiter. He has a goal and he has a plan. What is his goal? His goal is to deceive us. That's his goal. His goal is deception. And what is his plan? He uses... This is his plan. It's a very cunning plan. He uses even morality and the word of God. He uses the word of God to deceive you. And also he uses morality. Let me differentiate these two. If you look at the people outside of the church, there are a lot of religions. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism. And all these religions teach what? Good morality. What is a deception? They teach good morality. They teach good moral behavior. I myself was a Buddhist for 26 years. And I know what it means. And this is a first-class deception of Satan. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world, that is Satan, had blinded the minds of them which believe not Jesus Christ here, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So we see here how Satan has blinded their minds, the unbelievers, from the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And also John chapter 12 verse 40. See the blindness here. He has blinded their eyes, harden their heart, they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, not be converted, and I should heal them. But someone might ask, but does not those religious leaders, they teach good moral values, as we hear today in this war? Even our president has said this Islam, it talks about good moral values, right? Islam doesn't teach bad things. This is the deception. In Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12 says, is a way that seemeth right unto a man. Then it says there, but at the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a way that looks good. There's a way, it looks good. Buddhism looks very good to me. So does Islam look good to a lot of people. So does Hinduism. Because they teach good moral values. It looks good. There's nothing wrong. All good moral values. But the end is what? It's of death. This is the first scripture when I was a Buddhist that really saw that I was wrong. The Buddhism. So here we're talking the outside of the church first before I get into the inside of the church. And it's like having a beautiful cake, but it's poison inside. Looks very good. There's nothing wrong with it. But you eat it, you die. That's the deception of Satan. Remember, Satan, as we saw last time, Satan was educated not on earth, not in a seminary here. Where was he educated? In heaven. This Satan, he's a deceptor. He is from heaven. He knows the word of God really better than anybody else, any one of us. because he was educated in heaven. He has a first-hand knowledge on the Word of God. And he will use, even to the Buddhists, the Hindus, and the Muslims, he will give good moral values. But as long as they are lost, he will keep them that way in their religion. They have an outward form of godliness, but they don't have the power of God within. So it is not Allah, it is not Muhammad, it is not Krishna, it is not Buddha, it is not the Pope, it is not the Mary, it is not Joseph Smith, or the Jehovah's Witnesses, or the Christian Science, and all the other false gospels, because the Bible says, there is neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Only one name, Jesus Christ. Only one way, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. It's not any other religion. Now, the second part is, that's where we are concerned. He not only deceived those who are outside of the church with his plan, but also he deceives those who are inside of the church. Now this is the worst deception. Remember, before, at the beginning, the church in the New Testament, if you're a Christian, you were persecuted. And Satan will persecute you. And they killed the Christian. They were put into the lion's den. They were crucified. They were burnt alive. And there was severe persecution. But what happened? That persecution stopped when Constantine, the Roman emperor in 4th century BC, embraced kind of Christianity. It was before it was called Catholicism, meaning it's a universal church. There were no denominations. They were all Christians, universal Christians. Alright, they were called Christians. But after the 4th century, when the emperor embraced Christianity, it became Roman Catholicism. It brought all these pagan idols inside the church. Now, when the emperor embraced Christianity, the persecution stopped. No more persecution. Satan was invited inside the church now. Now, he is working within the church. But if anybody was against the Pope, then he was persecuted. That's why so many true Christians were killed during that time, like John Huss and the others. Now he is among us. He is inside the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14. And it says here, and no wonder, and no marvel, for Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. See, Satan himself, it's no wonder that he can transform himself into an angel of light. He comes like an angel. He comes like a holy person into the church. He has a purpose. That is to deceive you. Then verse 15 says, therefore it is no great thing of his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So here we see, not only that, even his workers can be transformed into holy-looking men, a man who looks very righteous people. So this is inside the church. Then John, 1 John says, beloved, believe not every spirit. Then he says, but try the spirits whether they are of God. See that? But try the spirits and see if they are of God. We are told to try them. What do you mean by try? The Greek word for try is dokimaso. Okay? The Greek word for try is dokimaso. It means to test. It means to examine. It means to scrutinize. That's what it means. So that means when somebody comes and teaches the word of God, we need to test them. We need to examine them. We need to scrutinize them. We need to approve. Now let me tell you, the meaning of dokimaso, this is the meaning, the Greek meaning is that scrutinizing metals, especially coins. They didn't have, like today, they didn't have the papers, you know, what we have today, dollar bills. They had all coins. And some people can make coins that just look like a real coin, but it's not genuine. False money, false currency. So it has the meaning of scrutinizing these coins to see if they are genuine or not. That's how this word dokimaso came. To examine, to prove, to see whether they're genuine or not. That means we need to put them to the acid test of testing the coins, if they're genuine or not. We need to test if it's real gold or false. It looks like gold. It glitters like gold, but it's not gold. So the same Greek word, dokimaso, that means it appears, it means to approve, to see whether it's right, it is testing, examine. The same word comes in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 10, 18. For not that he commended himself is approved. That word approved is dokimaso there. But whom the Lord commended. Here talking about approving. That means you have been examined and tested, you have been approved as a genuine person. Now how to test them? There's to test them and how to test? Good question. Not by human reason, not by our logical reason, not by anything from earthly we test them, but we need to test them above earth. We need to test them from the heavenly book, not from any other earthly book, but from the heavenly book, that is the Word of God. No matter who the person is, no matter how popular they are, no matter how many degrees they have, no matter how eloquent their speech is, no matter how great personality they have, no matter how they look, according to their looks, we need to test them. That's why Apostle tells, believe not every spirit. Test them, try them. What he says is, if what they are saying is agrees with the word of God in context, receive it with a blessing. But if it doesn't agree in context, reject them. No matter how good they are, how sincere they look, because they can be sincerely wrong. We need to be like the Bereans. Now some of you have heard the word Bereans. Acts chapter 17 verse 11 talks about the Bereans. Now, when Apostle Paul, when Apostle Paul was preaching to the Bereans, it says that they were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. Then what did they do? And searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Acts 17:11. They received the word of God readily, with an open heartness. They received the word of God, but they searched the scriptures to see if what Paul is saying, whether it's true or not. The Holy Spirit put this scripture for purpose, because you don't have to test an apostle, right? You don't test an apostle. Apostle is from Christ himself being ordained to go out and preach the gospel. But the Holy Spirit put that in for a purpose so that we would follow that example in testing everybody, no matter who they are. If you test an apostle, you need to test Billy Graham. You need to test it from the high, the most popular, and everybody you need to test. That's why the Holy Spirit put it there. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, again we see this word examining. How to test. 2 Corinthians 13, 5. Examine yourself whether you be in faith. Again we see the word prove. Prove your own self. Know you not your own self, how that Jesus Christ in you, except you be reprobate. So here we need to examine ourselves. And here, so important to examine the teaching. Examine yourself. So important. Remember, Apostle Paul, he spent 3 years, about 3 years, in Ephesus, encouraging the body over there. Before he left the Ephesus church, he gave a final word. And his final word is this. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 28. It's 20, verse 28. This is his words to the Ephesian elders of that church. It says here, take heed therefore unto yourselves. That's number one. And to the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God. That's the most important thing the pastor should do, to feeding the flock with sound doctrine, which he had purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves will enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. Well, I'll tell you, this is the new church that is being built up, doctrines of Jesus, and built up with the teachings of apostles. Very solid church. Apostle is warning. How much more today? His warning is this. His warning is that when he leaves, grievous or ferocious wolves will come. From where are they coming? Look in the word. What does it say? From where do they come, these wolves? It says, in among you. What did I say? Satan is where? He is working. His deception is inside the church. Among you. Not sparing the flock. It says also of your what? Own selves. Within your own selves shall men arise to draw away disciples after them. The apostle says, therefore, watch and remember that I spent 3 years night and day warning you with tears. And we know that within the body, how people come and separate and leave with other people within the church. We have first-hand experience of that. These false teachers will come within the church. They may look very honest. They may look very sincere, because they think what they are doing is right. because they think what they're teaching is very sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong. That's why we need to test them. Outside, they will look as sheep, but inside, they are grievous or ferocious wolves. They may look very nice. Now, Paul learned this lesson from Jesus Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, if you look at Matthew 7, 15, it was Paul learned this from the Lord Jesus Christ when Jesus said in Matthew 7, 15, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you," how? "In sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves or ferocious wolves." Now let me ask you a question. So I told you that Satan comes as an angel of light, right? And Jesus said they are these false prophets, they are really wolves, but wearing sheep's clothing, right? So God's church is called, we are all sheep, right? If we are all sheep, there are wolves who are wearing sheep's clothing too, right? Alright. So, here, what is the deception of sheep's clothing? If you only know what is the deception of sheep's clothing, what is the sheep's clothing? It is the vocabulary. That's the deception. The deception of sheep's clothing is the vocabulary. It means they will use the word of God. It means they will use the scriptures. It means they will use the name of God. They will use the name of Jesus Christ. It means they will look like Christians. They will act like Christians. They will use the word of God. That is the sheep's clothing. There were two Mormon people who came to the house where I was before, and they told them to sit down, and they sat down, and they wanted to agree with me everything what I'm saying, but I know I will not agree. So to make a very everything what I say, they agreed. So to make a very long story short, I asked them, all right, I don't agree with you. I asked them, they look like Christians, they acted like Christians, they talk like Christians, just like the Jehovah's Witnesses, everything they do is like Christians. So I asked them the most important question. I know you believe that in your doctrine, Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. Show me that in the Bible. And they cannot find it, and they agree with that. That's their teaching. Jesus is the brother. Now we have a different Jesus here. We have a different gospel here. Now I see a wolf. What did I do? I took the sheep clothing away. When you take the sheep clothing away, you see a wolf. But the church of Ephesus, Paul gave a warning. The church of Ephesus, they took this warning very seriously. They tested the teachers that came and preached the word of God. A lot of teachers came to that church. Even people came saying that we are apostles. We are good teachers. They tested them. Revelation chapter 2 verse 2, we see the result. He's talking to the church. Verse 1 says, "To the angel of the church of Ephesus write." Verse 2 says, "I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast" what? "Tried them." You have tested them. Who? "Which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them" what? "Liars." They tested them. They examined them. They scrutinize them. They wanted to make sure what the word of God says is right and you are alive. Many, then Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 4 verse 1, "Because many false prophets are gone out in the world. Why we need to test them? Because there are so many false prophets. That's why we need to test them. Many have gone out into the world and they are in the church. So we need to test them. Matthew chapter 24 verse 11 said, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. 24 verse 24 says, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. That means what Jesus is saying, they will do miracles right in front of your eyes. Lot of healings, lot of signs and wonders. And people will look, wow, this is from God. And they will just follow them. Not really looking into what they believe, into their doctrine. People will just follow them, not studying. In your name? And Jesus said, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. I'll tell you, he says that, if it were possible, even the elect shall be deceived. I'll tell you, only the grace of God can keep us right. Then he says, verse 25, behold, I have told you before. When did he tell before? Matthew 7:15, right? Beware of false prophets. Matthew 7:15. That's where he told before. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Peter said, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers where? Among you. Who privately shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So it's very clear that Satan, he operates inside the church, within the church. Now, false doctrine is very pleasing to the flesh. It's very pleasing to the flesh. That's why many will follow false doctrines. If you turn with me to James chapter 3 verse 15, see, these false doctrines is from the wisdom of this world. It's not from the word of God. James 3:15 says, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and what? Demonic. It's satanic. Now, verse 16 says, for there where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You remember James chapter 3 verse 1 starts with, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. See that? Talking about teachers who will, knowing what we shall receive, a stricter judgment. He's talking about two kinds of wisdom here. Earthly wisdom and a heavenly wisdom. Then if you read James chapter 3, it talks about the tongue. That how this little tongue, verse 3, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, we turn their whole body. Look also the ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder everywhere the pilot desires. Even as a tongue is a little member who boasts great things, see how great is a forest little fire kindles. Remember, Antichrist, when he comes, it's with his tongue he boasts about great things. He boasts about himself. The little tongue, what James is saying is, this little member, little tongue, you know, it can spread a huge fire. It's a little member, but it can brainwash a lot of people. it can brainwash a lot of people. Look how the terrorists, look how the cults, the Jim Jones, and you know, all those people died in Ghana. Can little tongue, small little tongue, it can brainwash a lot of people. John Owen, the great Puritan preacher, he said, let me quote, "The mind of man is far more apt and able to comprehend and retain fables, errors, and superstitions than evangelical truth." That means many people will believe in superstitions, errors, and just fable than the word of God, true word of God. "The former are natural unto it, against the latter it has a dislike and enmity until they are removed by grace." That means the former, the word of God, is, they don't like it, they don't want to hear the word of God, but they like the fables, the superstitions, and all those errors. They like those things, unless God gives us the grace to understand. "Hence some will make more apparent proficiency in a false religion in 4 or 5 days than others will do in the knowledge of the truth almost in so many years." That means what he's saying is, many will come to a false religion within a matter of 4 days, or few days, they will be convinced. But they will be not convinced, even how we preach you for years and years, the true word of God. But the false word of God, the false, they will be convinced right away. That's very true. So, we need to read the word of God daily. Now let me give you a good example of this deception. I have given you this before. If you take a genuine $100 bill, and also you take a counterfeit $100 bill, and if I give it to you, you will not be able to tell which is counterfeit and which is the genuine, because they both look the same. Right? They both look the same. That's how Satan operates. But let me tell you something. You give that counterfeit $100 to a banker, at once they will say, this is a counterfeit. Now, how does the banker know this is a counterfeit, and how does you don't know? The reason is, the banker always touches the money. They are always with the genuine. They are always touching the genuine truth. So if you are always with the genuine truth, if you know the truth shall set you free. If you are always with the truth, when the counterfeit comes, you will always recognize, this is not right, because the banker is always touching the genuine money. That's why we need to know the truth first. We need to know the genuine truth first. Because Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 says, if not, Ephesians 4:14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. See that? That means we are not going to be tossed to and fro if you know the truth. How many of you have heard, well, I was a Mormon for 2 years, Jehovah's Witness for 3 years, Christian Scientist for another 3 years, then I became a Seventh-day Adventist. Where are you going? They are being tossed to and fro. That's what it is. Read the Word of God. Study the Word of God. And if 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, what does it say? Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of truth. I believe that's New King James. Let me read the King James. Or study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word study in Greek is paudazo. Okay? It doesn't mean that reading the Word of God like a newspaper. It doesn't mean reading the Word of God like another novel. That's not what it says. The word spaudazo. So when it says study, it means this. It means to give diligence to Scripture. It means to labor in the Word of God. It means laboring in the Word of God. That's what it means. It doesn't mean, oh, let me read my chapter today. I read my Bible. That's not what it says. It means to labor. And it means we are laborers in His vineyard, in God's vineyard, right? It means that we are not spectators in the kingdom of God. We are workers. We are bondservants in the kingdom of God. The word approved here, what does it say here? The word approved here has to do with the same Greek word here, dokimazo. The word approved comes from that word, dokimos, as we learned before. The same thing. How we need to test and examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. So we need to be approved from God in studying the Word of God. It's so important. And we need to, then it says, rightly dividing the Word of God. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. The Greek word there, dividing, is orthotomio. It means to cut straight. It means to teach the truth directly and correctly. That's what it means. Cutting straight the Word of God. The Word of truth is the Scripture. That means cutting straight without any compromise. You cut it straight and the false is false, the truth is truth. Teaching correctly. That's what it says. Cutting straight the Scriptures. So, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. What do we learn today? Don't be gullible when you hear when people talk so eloquent speech. So, you know, it's looks so good, this guy, the way he speaks, you know. It looks like the Spirit is moving, you know. What kind of spirit? Apostle Paul, John said, believe not every spirit. Because Satan can come as an angel of light. Don't be taken up with emotions. People walk with a lot of emotions. But we need to test everybody from the Word of God. As we saw the scripture reading today, Jeremiah chapter 23, how saw God, there were so many false prophets in the Old Testament. And God said, I never spoke to them. False prophets always, they will tell, judge, they will never tell you the judgment is coming. They will never talk about sin, repentance, judgment. They will always talk about peace, health, wealth. Right? It's very pleasing to the flesh. That's what it is. It will not awaken the sinner's soul. And it will not bring to the true repentance of Jesus Christ. I would give you some homework. I'm going to continue on this. And if you can, next week, if you can go through the Old Testament and see the false prophets in the Old Testament and the false prophets of the Old Testament, and it will really enlighten your study next week. And see a good picture of the Old Testament of the false prophets and how they operated. And what the scriptures say. It will really be helpful. I'll tell you. It's so much false prophecies, false teachers going around in the church today. And we need to bring these, expose these truths. So we know that we are going in the right direction. Because so easy to fall into error. Because what? It's so tempting, so deceiving. So Satan's goal is deception. But he has a plan. Accomplish that plan. And the plan is he comes with the word of God within the church. That's very dangerous. Let's pray. Father, we praise you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. So profitable for teaching, rebuking, exhorting the body of Christ. Because this is the word of God, the manna that came from heaven, that when we are thirsty and hungry, Lord, for our physical food, you give us food. But how much more we need to be thirsty? Our souls should be thirsty for the word of God. Oh Father, feed us, Lord, with your word. And Lord, we pray and ask, Lord, that we would be diligent workers in your kingdom, Lord, especially studying your scriptures, especially studying diligently, laboring, Lord, and knowing what it says, and taking the time to memorize scriptures and to meditate upon your word. Then we can walk in your ways and we can admonish one another. We can encourage one another. And we can go and witness to the others who doesn't know you, who have been deceived by the enemy. As we saw in scriptures, that God in this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. And Lord God Almighty, how can we witness to people if we don't know the word of God? How can we encourage somebody in the Lord if we don't know? But we are all called to encourage, admonish, and to witness. So Father, we pray, Lord, that you would give us a grace, Lord, and you will strengthen us with your Spirit, Lord. Although we are wicked, miserable creatures saved by grace alone, we pray and ask, Lord, that we will look to the Christ alone for what he has done. Nothing else, Lord. Christ alone that we are saved. That we will put our hope, our anchor, that we will build our house on Christ alone, on the rock of Christ. As we saw sand that's him today, everything else is sinking sand. We pray, Lord, that you will give us a good memory, that we will remember what we studied today, Lord. And go before us in Jesus' name. Amen.